Women peace activists from Hawaii have recently returned from the 9th International Women's Network Against Militarism. They joined representatives from other U.S. states, plus Puerto Rico, Korea, Japan, Okinawa, the Philippines, and Guam. Their task was to share information about the human and environmental costs of the U.S. militarism and the role of women's nonviolent resistance. Unite Here Local 5 community organizer Lisa Grandinetti was among them. We talked last week after she arrived home about the work this group of women activists sees for itself and why they met in Okinawa.
Well, I think it's increasingly important, and it has always been very important for women to come together from around the world, because U.S. imperialism and the U.S. military has reached to every part of the world, and hence the group being active since 20 years ago. And in Okinawa, there's a lot of aspects of militarization that we all see in our own nation. So in Hawaii, the Philippines, Puerto Rico, all of these places, we see the same problems of sexual violence, of degradation of the environment, cultural effects. So it was very important to have it in Okinawa, especially right now, because several bases are expanding and the fight against Henoko, against Takai, are heating up right now.
How are they heating up in ways that we haven't heard?
A small group of us who are interested in these issues can see the news coming out of Okinawa rather clearly, because they have a lot of press coverage. But being there was just a whole different experience, because we got to see the physical space that's being threatened, feel that energy that's coming from it and from the people that have been fighting to protect it for over 10 years now. It was just a very meaningful experience to actually be there and meet the people who have been holding down the line for not just these past 10 years, but who have been involved since the Battle of Okinawa 72 years ago.
How would you describe that feeling of being there compared to what it is that the rest of us see in various reports?
Mm. Well, for me in particular, my mom is from Okinawa, and I'm Uchinanchu, or Okinawan. It was a very emotional experience. We went to Henoko on June 25th. It's commemoration of the start of the construction, which started on April 25th of this year. And they did a march in the water on boats. And it was very emotional to see the police and some private security that was hired just completely prohibiting the protesters from even entering this huge zone in the bay that's marked off for construction. And to see aunties and uncles that have been there for a long time chanting, speaking to these workers about how we stand for peace in Okinawa, and that's what it really means to be Okinawan. It was heartbreaking, but at the same time, just so inspiring to see Okinawans continue to stand for peace and against violence that the military causes.
Those nonviolent actions that brought all of you together to be able to devise, to create, to participate in, as you just talked about, what happened in Okinawa. What about in other places in the world? What have you planned for that?
So we talked about different themes around militarization. We talked about military violence against women, environmental destruction and discrimination, creating alternative economies, and imagining a more genuine security. All the women are going back to their homes to continue their work against specific issues. So like in the Philippines, one of the biggest issues is prostitution around the bases or in the bases, and especially overseas workers. So women are sent with entertainer visas to Korea to work in bars, and then they're essentially trafficked into prostitution. So that's one thing that women are organizing around. They're actually
in the Philippines.
Yes, they're I met these amazing women who have this organization called Buklod, which means like solidarity and strength and unity. They go into the bars, and all of them are survivors of trafficking themselves, and they actually organize and recruit leaders from those sex workers, and they provide services, but they are very politically engaged. So that's just one example of what's happening. But it really demonstrates the value of the network, because the same kind of work is happening in Korea with those migrant workers. So that's just one example. But in Hawaii, we really want to focus on issues like pohaku loa, and something that's coming up next year is RIMPAC. So it's again, a very good demonstration of the necessity to be in solidarity internationally, because all the nations were actually represented in our network. They're coming to Hawaii for this meeting about military weapons. Corporations will be there as well. It's basically the coming together of exactly the things that we were coming together against.
How do you feel that women today may be better or less able to deal with some of the issues that brought together the group in Okinawa? We've seen feminism move through various different waves, and there's been some criticism, and there's also been answers to that criticism about what feminism can do today. Mm-hmm. You consider yourself to be an intersectional feminist.
Yes.
How do you see that playing into the role of women around the world in the way that you came together to counter mm-hmm. militarism and other issues that are specifically targeted at women?
I think it's very important not in an essentialist way where I don't want to imply that all women have the same experiences, because they don't. There's questions of indigeneity and race and class and geography that need to be that need attention as well, and that produce differences. But we see that women and children really experience the brunt of military violence, especially with the bases that cover the entire earth. I participated in the group discussion about sexual violence, and it is such it really is kind of the epitome of dominance, that's really key to militarism and imperialism. So I think looking at solutions to sexual violence and imperialism, women really should be at the forefront, because we are the ones that are surviving in ways that are sort of invisibilized. I always think, whenever approaching an issue of discrimination and injustice, the people experiencing that discrimination and injustice need to be at the forefront of efforts against it.
And yet, in many cases, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that transition from the place around the world that many women may hold it in not being as engaged as you would like them to, in fact, being at the forefront, or at least being at the table?
I think I don't think women don't want to be involved, but rather are pushed out of positions of power and kept out. And that's where my work with the union has really, with Local 5, has really given me a vision for what leadership can look like and should look like and does look like. Our union is 80% women. Service work is very feminized. And we have leaders that reflect our membership. Our leadership is full of women, women of color, immigrant women. And I think what it's going to take to get to a place where women are at the table and also leading the movement against all forms of violence and injustice is organizing and building power and building leadership, which is why I mentioned Buklod, which is the Filipino organization, because they are doing exactly that. I'm actually recruiting leadership from those women who are experiencing violence directly from the U.S. military and imperialism.
Lisa Grandinetti, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lisa Grandinetti is an intersectional feminist and a community and labor organizer with Unite Here Local 5, where she interned as a high school student. She recently graduated from UH Manoa.